Welcome to Getting Through It, where we're here to help you get through it. I'm John Boeri, and as always, I'm with geoscientist Dr. Lucy Jones. Thanks to all the listeners who stepped up to sponsor this podcast. You can too by joining as a sponsor of the Dr. Lucy Jones Center for Science and Society. That's Dr. Lucy Jones's nonprofit that brings science information to those with the ability to make decisions to improve our communities. Please go to patreon.com and be a sponsor too. That's patreon.com and search Dr. Lucy Jones. So now, let's get to it. Today, we're talking about time. It's the only thing we can't create more of, and everyone would do a lot better if they had more of it. We talk about extending our lifetime, giving ourselves more time by living longer. If you think about every gadget sold in the last 100 years, it was about saving you time. But time is a social construct.
Ah! That's a way to get a scientist pretty nervous. I think of time as a physical quantity. You know, physicists define it as what you measure with a clock. You know, we have a cesium molecule that's decaying, and we have our automatic clocks to be able to define it really exactly as a physical dimension, just like meters measure the length of a room.
The fact that we have a calendar and measure things in a way that is convenient to business and modern life versus the actual, you know, cycles of the moon or the sun or this decay of cesium molecules, isn't that really the social construct being put on the natural world?
It is. And I think that that's one of the issues that gets in the way of humans understanding some of the physical world. I mean, as a human being, when I think about time, it began when I was born and it ends when I die. There is a limit to time because of this unique aspect that it's the only dimension that we can only go one direction through it. We always go forward in time. But, you know, I mean, a historian has to look at time as more than just your lifetime. And the Earth's historians, us geologists, we see time as the history of the Earth, and that is just so much bigger than a human life. On that timeline of the Earth, my human lifetime doesn't even show up as a dot. It's an insignificant amount of time compared to what the Earth has gone through.
Well, let's take a second and get some key timing things out of the way then. I'm going to give you a couple questions, Lucy, just to help frame when we're talking about geologic time and the time that we experience as humans alive today. How old is the Earth?
It's just under 5 billion years old.
That's 5 billion with a B.
With a B, yeah.
Okay. So how old is the oldest rock that we know of?
The oldest rock we've got is about 3.7 billion years old.
Now let's talk about fossils, right? The first life that we're able to see. How old is the oldest fossil?
Okay, the oldest fossil, which means life that actually left behind a record that had something hard, 670 million years ago, start of the Cambrian period.
So 80% of the Earth's history, we don't have a record of natural life.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe a few algaes.
When did dinosaurs exist?
Okay. They actually existed for 180 million years. They died out about 66 million years ago.
How long have humans been around?
Right. 180 for the dinosaurs, maybe 2 million for us, depending on how you define human.
How long have humans been keeping written records?
Depends on how you define written records, but right around 5,000 to 6,000 years ago.
And when did we start keeping calendars?
Well, calendar's an interesting definition. You know, there are places in what's called the Mesolithic, maybe 10,000 years ago, there are these standing stones that seem to be tied to calendar things, but an actual calendar, like we think of a calendar, that's only in the last couple thousand years. And the current calendar we're using, that's 500 years old.
So the time that we're in today is measured in the last 500 years, and there's almost 5 billion years of time that existed just on this planet alone. And let's go into your area of expertise, Lucy. When was the first recorded earthquake? When can we go into the geology and see when the first time we saw earthquakes?
Basically, as long as we have rocks. We see faults that, you know, in rocks that are a billion years old, and we know that at some time they must have produced earthquakes because we see the rocks being offset.
So in this history of Earth alone, 5 billion years, a couple billion years of that time we've had earthquakes, we have only been around for 2 million years and really only keeping records for less than 5,000 years.
Right.
We are pretty small on the spectrum of time.
We are this little tiny bit of it. You know, there is a record of an earthquake in China that's about 3,000 years old. That's the longest earthquake catalog we have of actually like knowing an earthquake at a particular time. In California, our earthquake record is like 200 years. And we're trying to figure out how faults are moving when those faults can be hundreds of millions of years old.
What's an active fault? An active fault is what?
We define, because this is just a name, right? An active fault as one that's moved in the last 10,000 years. We say if it's moved in the last 10,000 years, it's certain to be able to move again. Potentially active, maybe they're going to keep on going, is the last 1 million years. In fact, we had one earthquake, 1999, Hector Mine, was on a fault that probably last moved about 100,000 years before the earthquake that we had. So our little 100, 200 year record doesn't tell us what the earthquakes are that we're going to be having. So we're talking about all of these dates of particular events. And that reflects the fact that time in a physical reality is a constant. And we only have one direction that we can move through it. And because of that fact that we're moving through it, our human perception of what that time means becomes very personal and very non-physical.
I mean, this is where we make these human constructs on time. We make a calendar, we name things, we have birthdays and anniversaries that mark the passage of time, decades, centuries, even eras. None of these names and dates and anniversaries is what's happening in the earth.
Right. I mean, we go and, you know, the fact that we have 10 fingers, we think that a 10-year anniversary or a 100-year anniversary is significant. And I'm rather astonished at how many people think it might be affecting the earth. You know, we have one day in California that we had 3 big earthquakes on. Some people think that means that that's a particularly dangerous day. It's not. And, you know, the earth really doesn't have any idea about anything about the calendar that's a human construct.
And so why does this matter? Here we are in 2020, and people have put a lot of investment in the year that we're in because of a time and place that we exist.
The problem is that when we want to think about what the earth is doing, particularly what disasters might it be bringing us, we have a very strong subconscious prejudice to thinking that what we've experienced is what matters. And understanding the disaster requires looking at time frames, not just bigger than our individual life, but in, you know, different than human life. We have, you know, written records of humanity anywhere in the world is 5,000 years. And we say 10,000 years is a really active fault. We need to understand that those human limits are not what's going to help us managing geologic phenomena. We need to move out of our human comfort zone and think about these longer time frames. When you ask a geoscientist about a disaster and what's going to happen, they're going to be talking about the time frame that's relevant to that. So I'm going to say this earthquake's absolutely inevitable, meaning that it's going to happen sometime in the next 10,000 years. That is not inevitable to you, and you need to understand that difference about it. And you got to make sure we have enough data. You know, like with flooding, it's a real problem. We only have our stream gauges on each individual stream, and they may be only 50 or 100 years worth of data, and that's not telling you the worst flood that you could be getting.
So we've now explored the idea that time exists. It's there and it can be measured. But geologic time is the concept that we need to think about when we think about planning for and responding to our greatest disasters. That what we've experienced in our lifetime or even in our written record may not be the ultimate of what we might experience based on the fact that we only have a limited knowledge that we've passed down. So what should our listeners do? Not everybody's a geoscientist that's listening today. What do they do with this information now that they know about geologic time and the scale that we're talking about?
I think, you know, somehow try to hold this in your mind, especially when you listen to a geologist. If we're going to go and say, What matters is my lifespan. And this earthquake may not happen in my lifespan. I don't need to plan for it. That might be a good individual choice. It's not a choice for a city or for a society. We've got to remember that those things exist beyond our lifetime. And once you go to a long enough time, these geologic phenomena, these extreme events are inevitable, and they will be affecting our descendants, at least, even if not ourselves.
As we plan cities, as we plan infrastructure, as we plan the way of life that we seek to live in our communities in the next 10, 20, 50, 100 years, those decisions have to be guided by the history, not of our last 10, 50, or 100 years, but that of the last 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 years when we think about hazards. So Lucy, we could go on forever, so we'll have to do this again. Until next time, I'm John Boeri with Dr. Lucy Jones and you, Getting Through It. Getting Through It is a production of the Dr. Lucy Jones Center for Science and Society. Visit us online to get past shows and become a sponsor at patreon.com. That's patreon.com and search Dr. Lucy Jones. Our music is performed by Josh Lee, and this closing music was written by our own Dr. Lucy Jones.